Good morning. It's good to be here this morning. Appreciate Jeremy your discussion and leading the discussion in Sunday school. It was enjoyable and was good. I would like to give a shout out to Tyler. He's pretty brave. We had a family reunion on my mom's side, and there was probably around 400 people there, and he was pretty brave to go there, so shout out to Tyler there. That's pretty good to be able to go to a family reunion where you don't know anybody hardly. So it was interesting. I never thought I'd go to a family reunion that you'd be there. So hey. God works in mysterious ways, right? Yeah. Enjoyed having you there. What I was going to share about a little bit this morning, a few thoughts here, and try not to take too long, but I know how that can go sometimes. But one thing that I found out that, like, being married brings on a level of responsibility and requires you to acquire self-discipline. I've kind of been alone this week, and my wife and kids are not home, and my self-discipline level kind of went down a little bit. So I'll try to bring the Word of God this morning and do the best I can with His help. Like there was something else I was going to say, but I can't remember. That's probably okay. Anyway, I would like to talk about what's been on my mind this last couple weeks, maybe even more than that. It kind of started out as selfishness, and I think we've talked about it here before in some of our discussions, Sunday school lessons, and stuff like that. And to me, selfishness. Or when we talk about marriage, especially, we think about selfishness is a big issue. It really doesn't even stop with marriage. I mean, it's in life. I mean, like sin, almost sin. The definition of sin can almost be selfishness, I think. I mean, ultimately, it's disobedience to God, but it's selfishness sin is all about ourselves. Like it's whatever we want to do. You know, there's no accountability to anybody else. And also that kind of brought me to about that, you know, where Jesus said, it's in Mark chapter 12, verses 28 through 34, is where the one scribe questioned Jesus about the, I'm just going to read it here. I'll just read it, Mark 12. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" So it's the scribe asking Jesus here. And Jesus answered, "The first of all, the commandment is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" And that's the one is how do you love your neighbor as yourself? And I'm not going to near do justice on this subject this morning. Like there's a lot more that could be said. But how do we love our neighbor as ourselves? And if you really start and stop to think about it, it's kind of sobering. Think about how, and it's not an imitation to love ourselves at all. I mean, like if the Bible condemns that, and we should not love ourselves. But it talks about how we treat ourselves. You know, we do everything for ourselves. I mean, like we sacrifice a lot of stuff for ourselves. But it says here we're to love our neighbor as ourselves, or as yourself. So what does all that entail? I ain't going to do it justice. While remembering here, I would like, after I kind of go through a few things here, you can be thinking about it. I would like to have maybe we can write down some practical things where we can love our neighbor as ourselves, things that we can do. And then it comes all back. I mean, this ties into 1 Corinthians 13 about the love chapter, talking about where it talks about love. I'm not going to go there, but the love chapter, where it talks about how we are to love each other sacrificially, how we're supposed to lay down our life for a brother and all that. So be thinking about some things that we can practically do. You know, sometimes we can read scripture and that's great and we need that. But then sometimes the day-to-day living, you know, it's good to kind of think of things that we do from day to day and just recall them. And just like in the Sunday school lesson, we talked about, you know, about swearing and telling the truth, very practical things. You know, Jeff brought up, what on your voicemail? Do you say you're going to call somebody back? Well, are you? Do you? It can be anything. You know that. So practical things like it. So be thinking about that. I want to get your ideas of how we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And Jesus drew. He was quoting scripture out of Leviticus. And if we go back to Leviticus 19, and so this is God's heart, even from the very beginning. It wasn't just a New Testament thing. This was God commanded that of the children of Israel way back, you know, in the Old Testament. And so I would, and he had some practical things as well. You know, the Ten Commandments also. I mean, okay, so there's another scripture as well, and maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. Let me wait on that a little bit. But, yeah, Leviticus 19, and I want to start reading. Well, in verse 18, it says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But I want to start reading at verse 9 through 18. It says, in thinking about this as loving your neighbor as yourself, when you reap the harvest for your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another, and you shall not swear by my name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shall fear your God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. In righteousness you shall judge your neighbor. You shall not go about as a talebearer among your people, nor shall you take a stand against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And then verses 33 to 37. So this is kind of talking about the neighbor, the children of Israel, the people within the children of Israel. But then you go to verse 33, and it's talking about a stranger. It says, if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. You shall do no injustice in judgment, in measurement of length, weight, or volume. You shall have an honest scale, honest weights, and an honest ephah, and an honest hin. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them. I am the Lord. So I thought that was interesting that even we can almost get the thought of as the Old Testament that God just required people to do, just obey laws, legal, almost like a legal system. But ultimately, God, well, we know that the law is, let me see if I can say this right. The law, God, so if we obey the law perfectly, then I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. But the law was because now that we have Jesus Christ, we can have our sins forgiven and we have that avenue to God through Jesus Christ, and the righteousness is imputed to us, so we have that relationship directly to him, whereas in the Old Testament, it was the laws that they had to be obedient by following the laws. I'm not sure if I'm explaining that right. I can't explain it right now. That wasn't in my notes. But if you get the point, what I'm trying to say, even though it was a legalistic system, God still wanted the children of Israel's hearts to be right with him. He wanted them to love. Like he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Not out of just, okay, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. But he wanted them to do it out of a heart of love. And that was ultimate God's desire, I believe, if that makes sense. So then the question could be, then, who is my neighbor? And we know, if we go to Luke 10, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I won't read that, but we kind of know the story there. You know, the guy got beat up, and then it had a priest and a Levite that came by. They did nothing. They went right around him. And then the Samaritan. And it was interesting that Jesus used a Samaritan here, because the people that he was talking to hated Samaritans. But Jesus used them, used a Samaritan that they hate. It was kind of interesting how Jesus used that, trying to make a point. But I think it's anybody that we come in contact with is our neighbor, the people that are influence around us. So I think it can be anybody that we come in contact with. If we go to Romans 13 and verses 8 through 10, there's some more verses on loving your neighbor. It says, owe no man anything except to love one another, for he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal. And this is where it talks, this is some of the Ten Commandments. So it says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying. So he's saying all these commandments are summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And verse 10, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So, yeah, so it's saying, yeah, that's kind of self-explanatory there. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So committing adultery, that's harming your neighbor. Murdering is definitely harming somebody. Stealing, false witness, or coveting. So he's saying if there's any other commandment, they're all summed up. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And love does no harm to a neighbor. So does that mean if we're not harming our neighbor, we're okay? We love him? Like, is that all we have to do is just not harm our neighbor? I don't think so. If we go to 1 John 3, verse 16. I'll read that real quick. If I can find it here. There we go. Okay, verse 16. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed or truth. So I don't think from that scripture there, I don't believe that just not harming our neighbor is love. It's actually doing. If we see somebody in need, we help them. That's showing love. And, I mean, you can think of all kinds of areas or ways that we could show love by helping somebody in need. And I think I touched on this. We're not to love ourselves as this world would think we should love ourselves, because, I mean, that's a big push in today's society is to, it's all about me, myself. It's all about who you are and who you want to be and just be you and you and all this stuff. And that's like, as Christians, I don't think we should go down that road at all. If you go to, I think in 1 Timothy 3:2, talks about men in the last days, men will be lovers of themselves and turn away from. And he said to turn away from that. Philippians 2:3-4 says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. The command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, is to pursue meeting the physical health and spiritual well-being of one's neighbor with the same intensity and concern as one does naturally for oneself. I believe that's right. So meeting the physical health and spiritual well-being of one's neighbor with the same intensity and concern as one does naturally for oneself. So you think about that a little bit. The way you take care of yourself, I believe, is how we should take care of our neighbors, for those around us. And that's where I want to, have y'all help me out a little bit on how we can do that practically. Stop and consider the lengths you go to make yourself comfortable. That is the same way you should meet the needs of others. Are we willing to give up our own comforts to make somebody else comfortable, to help somebody else out? The world would tell you no. And you look at, the world is all about itself. You look at social media. Social media is really all about me, myself. Look at me. And I know there's some good things on there probably, but that's a big one. Look at any YouTube channels and all that. It's look at me. It's all about elevating oneself. I think we need to. Loving our neighbor as yourself, it's not a psychological, it's sacrificial. I think we need to have that sacrificial love in 1 Corinthians 13, one of the descriptions of love was being willing to be, I can't remember exactly what I'd have to go to it, but being willing to be run over by your brother in order to help that brother out or to keep peace or whatever, but being willing to lay down your life for your brother. And we know we have a great example, 13, we just did communion where we did the feet washing, and where Jesus, that's our greatest example is Jesus. He was mighty, the king. He is the king, but he was willing to come down as a man and all the way down to the death. And right here before Jesus' death, we see where he stooped down, the disciples' king stooped down and washed the dirty feet of the disciples who were sinners. They were wretched men. But he was willing to stoop down and wash their feet. And that's the ultimate sacrifice, that's the ultimate example that we can go by. I had a few statistics a little bit on, I don't know, I'm trying to think here. And this is from the .gov website, so I guess we can trust it. We can always trust the government, right? So this is just, on the amount of time. So how much time, and thinking of practicality as far as how we love our neighbor as ourself, how much time are we spending helping other people or even our families? And this is a graph or kind of an average hours per day that people spend doing certain things. And I thought it was, you can take it for what it's worth. I thought it was kind of interesting. So this is for civilian population. I guess it's including men and women. Excuse me, like an average. And let me see if I can find. Sleeping was usually the most, which that's probably okay. Do a little sleep. We all need our sleep. But work, okay, and work was, now I don't know if how this average, if it was like over like 7 days a week, but average working and work-related activities was 3.61 hours, which seems low, but I guess that's probably, that's just an average. But organizational, civic, and religious activity was 0.3. And under that was religious and spiritual activities was 0.14. Volunteering was 0.13. Leisure and sports was 5.19. So that was more than work. I thought that was interesting. And under leisure and sports, socializing and communicating is 0.64. Watching television, 2.81. Participating in sports, exercise, recreational, 0.31. And then it goes, lists a couple other, like telephone calls and emails, like 0.16, stuff like that. So I just thought it was interesting that, and I looked at some other stats, and like sport or TV was pretty high on the list, about the average. And so here, and then another breakdown is average hours per day for person who engaged in the activity. So I guess it kind of breaks it down in a 24-hour period of time. So, and it has work and work-related activities at 8.11, which would make more, a little more sense. But then volunteering was 2.29. Leisure and sports was 5.45 again. So what are we doing? I mean, as a country, obviously we know that people spend a lot of time on leisure. And you look at the amount of money that's spent on self-promotion, social media, TV, clothing, cosmetic, you know, just all the beauty industry and all that. It's just it's just staggering. But all right, so real quick, I forget, what time am I supposed to, 11:30 or 12? 11:30. Real quick, let's just think of a few things. I'll try not to take too long. Some practical ways that we can lay down our life for our brother, or we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And I should have wrote a few things down myself, but I didn't. But so that's why I want y'all to, you know, sometimes I think it's good for us to think about just real, very mundane, everyday things in life. Can somebody think of one? I guess not, huh?
Mm-hmm. Probably should do it at church, but I do just try to answer your question, and it's kind of like how it helped with it.
Okay. All right, appreciate that. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The lady cared for Sweeney, took him to the hotel, said he was in charge, he would put it in my account. Like, he had the means to take care of him.
Right.
And he did. I'm like, I don't know, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've struggled with that. Just knowing how do you respond, and I think you have to be wise. But I think sometimes you have to leave it up to God. And I'll tell them that. I don't know if that's the right thing. I said, I'm gonna give it to you. If you're not telling me the truth, it's between you and God. I'm not sure if that's the right thing to say, but well, you know, it's interesting. I see the same people standing at the roads. On the way home from work. So do they have a need? I don't know. I think some of them are professional, beggars, I guess, professional beggars. But is that for us to decide, or do we, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's good.
I have an idea
how we can what?
I have an idea.
Okay.
Why don't we start standing out instead of asking, let's offer to give.
There you go. There you go. I think it's like being willing. We're so driven by schedule that we're sometimes we don't take the time to stop and help people out. I was in at a track in Hinesville, Harbor Freight. I was in a Harbor Freight browsing, which is a bad idea, but. And this gentleman came up to me and started talking to me. And I knew right away he was going to ask me if I knew Jesus and all that, because just the way. And it was good. Like, I had a good, I think he was from the church that, who's Elizabeth? The church, it's the prayer church or something like that. Anyway, we had a good conversation, but it was a challenge to me. Like how often have I just walked up to somebody in a store and just asked them, do you know Jesus? And it was convicting. It really was. We had a good conversation, and kind of helped me. It was what I needed at the time. Yeah, but how often do we do that? We're so driven by schedule that we don't take the time. But it's even like smaller things. Like, I mean, what about husband and wife, sibling to sibling, brother to brother? You know, how many times we think our idea is what needs to be done. And your idea is bad, you know, are we willing to lay our ideas down? Are we, I mean, it's small things. What about children on the playground? Are y'all willing to, what about basketball out here? I know playing basketball gets you riled up pretty good sometimes, but are we, as Christians, I don't care if you, I mean, ultimately everybody wants to win the game, but if we still got to think about who we are, we're Christians. Are we willing to take those points away for the brother. You know what I mean? And then ultimately, it's the bringing honor and glory to God is the ultimate goal, and obedience to God. The extra point or the whether it was a foul or not doesn't really matter in the scheme of eternity, or any of these. A lot of these little things don't really matter. The selfishness that rears up within us, like it. Oh, it's frustrating sometimes because it just. Yeah, it's and that's where we need to call on the grace of God, the Holy Spirit, to help us in those areas. Children, it's letting somebody else go before you in the food line or wherever, or when you're playing baseball or softball, letting somebody else go before you, hit the ball before you. I mean, there's so many practical ways. Husband and wife relationship, that's a big one there. I mean, you could go on and on. anyway, I think you probably should.
No, I like that. That I love that chapter, Leviticus 19, that you read from. And, you know, that they would not harvest the corners of their fields or take all the grapes off their vineyard. And it was allowed for the poor to just come and get, you know, as to meet their needs. You know, I was trying to think, well, how might you implement that today? And something came to mind on my way up here. I passed this church, and they have a sign up front recently that they put out there, and they just say, bags of food available Fridays 5 to 6, or something like that. And evidently, they just buy groceries, you know, and bag them up. And I don't know how they do it, but you just come there and get a bag of groceries. I don't know, you know, maybe something like that. But, you know, the idea of just letting, you know, just letting people have what they need if they want it, even if they abuse it. You know, I think that, you know, I really like that chapter that you read. I don't know, somehow do something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little hard to. I mean, if you not farm, how do you put that in practice? I think that's a great idea. Yeah, that's a good idea. And you know, we talk about our income. Do we have excess income after our needs are met? You know, we usually end up creating our own needs, creating extra needs, and that's where all our money goes. But what about, you know, what about the food we buy? I mean, you can live on beans and rice for a long time, pretty cheap. You know, I mean, you get sick and tired of them, but I mean, it's cheap. And you could take that extra money and do something like that with it. I don't know. It's just, yeah, all kinds of ways to do that. All right. Well, I think, we should close here. And, thank you for all the input. That's good. That's good practical ways that we can love our neighbor as ourselves and ultimately, you know, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And that's, maybe we should have focused on that one first. But anyway, that one ultimately, I think, loving our neighbor just flows. That's why they lump those two together. Like fulfilling the whole law is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it's been a challenge. It was a challenge to me studying this, and like, it's convicting. Like, it really is. I mean, there's so many times I do what I want to do, and regardless of others, and it's not right. We need to be willing to lay our life down, and in marriage it's the same way. We need to be, like, what do they say, it's not 50-50, it's 100-100, right? So we need to be, regardless of, I need to give 100% regardless of how much she is given to me, and